Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Damn these Biloxi blues, it happens every night. And I ain't never met a riverboat dealer that could ever be a friend of mine.
Show have not.
Summer heat never treats me kind, it leaves trouble on my mind. So I'm bidding farewell, putting in my notice, and I'll see you at another time. This highway does not know my name, and I don't care.
No, I
don't care. Headed my way for another place, and I got three good tires and a spare. Just a white line gypsy getting out of Mississippi with just enough gas to get there.
Low budget, live, not so live. Look, I'm like a DJ, but I'm not. It's different. What's up, everybody? You bunch of low life and son of a guns coming to you from the Low Budget Live Bar and Grill here in lovely southern Middle Tennessee. And I'm going stir crazy, and I'm ready to be out of this house, and I'm ready for the world to get back to whatever normal it is that we're headed into. And I'm sick of this crap. Going crazy. Hope all y'all are well out there, you low lifers. And man alive, I don't know what it was about this week. And I'll try to keep it brief on the non-fishing talk, guys. Got a lot of comments last week. Don't fishing. Don't talk about stuff that's not fishing. We don't like it. Got a couple comments like that last week. And I'm just like, you know what? I share everything with y'all. But I'm going crazy. Like this week was the week. It was like a month in. And it apparently is that way for the entire, you know, I won't say the entire country, but a lot of people in the country, like with the protests and all this craziness going on, everybody's like, you know what? Let's start asking some questions. Let's get out in the streets. Everybody's tired. Everybody's tired of being cooped up, I think. And holy buckets, am I ever fished the last couple days. That was good. That was good for my mental health. But we had some crappy weather this week, so I didn't get to fish a ton this week. But man, it's like, I think Monday I woke up and was just like, you know what? Screw this. I'm over it. But still, it's still going strong. It's still going crazy. Old Corona craziness. This Corona craziness is indeed infecting all of our brains a little bit, I think. Some really cool stuff coming out of it, though. People being creative on social media. All these lives musicians are doing. All these lives anglers are doing. And all kind of people are doing these, you know, live interviews and live. Everybody's live. And a lot of new podcasts have popped up, you know, Lord knows. But it's funny. A lot of creativity coming out. Lord knows. I have been writing some songs just to pass the time. Just to pass the time, because it is definitely there's some long days right now. I know it's like that for all y'all. So I hope all y'all are safe. I hope you're doing well. I hope all your families are doing well. Thank y'all for being low lifers, and thank y'all for listening and supporting this craziness that we call Low Budget Live from the Low Budget Live Bar and Bunker these days. And the song you heard, if you're new to the show, the song you heard at the beginning is my song, Luke Duncan, Biloxi Blues. I wrote that song. And thank y'all. Posted a video of that this week. A few of y'all watched that with me and Shannon Wheeler. We did a little, I recorded one here the other night, a version of me playing that acoustic. And then I emailed that over to Shannon Wheeler, who's up there in Virginia. And my buddy Dude Let's Fish, at Dude Let's Fish. And He laid some fiddle down. He edited, sent it back. And it's cool. We're going to do some more of that. We're trying to figure out how to play live together for y'all just because we're bored. We're bored, and we love playing music, and it's a good time. So thank y'all for watching that, though, and had three or four videos pop up this week on the old Luke Duncan's Traveling Circus channel. And thanks to those of you that watched those. I really appreciate it. Got a lot more to come, and ready to get another Boats and Pros film, though, I'll be honest. Just ready for this craziness to die down so we can get to that. Low Budget Live, a little bit of housekeeping here. Low Budget Live brought to you by the amazing folks at StarTron. And we are working on some stuff, guys, to some giveaways. And StarTron, they're going to be a part of Quarantine Catch Fest. Some of those prize packs that are going to go out to those winners from Quarantine Catch Fest coming up. But we're going to do some StarTron, StarBright. We got some creative stuff. Speaking of creativity, some creative stuff coming up. Been brainstorming with those guys. And we got some fun ideas coming up, and hopefully on next week's show, I'll be able to tell you about that. But this is Low Budget Live for April the 20th, and we appreciate the folks from StarTron bringing you Low Budget Live week after week after week after week. And make sure with all your vehicles, if you're not running your trucks and SUVs and other vehicles as much as you normally are, if you're stuck at home, be sure to get you some of this, no kidding, and put it in your gas tank. Put it in your gas tank. Even if your vehicle says it can burn through that old ethanol, this will kick ethanol right in the teeth. So be sure to do that and use it in all your weed eaters, chainsaws, whatnot. But thanks to the folks at StarTron, Star Bright Cleaning Solutions for hooking us up. As always, Low Budget Live. We got some cool stuff coming to the studio from those guys too. Some signage and things, I hope, to the Low Budget Live Bar and Grill very soon. So thanks to all of you, and thanks to StarTron. All right. Got that out of the way. This is an episode that I have been looking forward to for a while. Once we get through all this babble of mine, I've got a guest today that I'm really looking forward to talking to, that super pumped about. And hopefully everything will go good with our software and nothing will be stupid today, and we can just have a good interview today. So what I hope, because we've been talking about this one and kicking it back and forth for a while now with today's guest. So when I speak of creativity is, man, a lot of folks are getting creative in how to entertain themselves, entertain their families, entertain their followers if they have a big social media presence and different things. And unfortunately, that's the good side of everything going on. And unfortunately, there's a bad side of this too. And something's kind of popped up in the last week. I wasn't going to address it because it's just truly that stupid, but I got to, right? And so we all know the Jason Christie with a hard Y, that fishes the FLW Tour. He competes on the FLW Tour. He wasn't at Lake Martin for reasons unknown. But somebody commented on one of my Facebook posts as that dude the other day, as Jason Christie. I thought, surely to goodness, this guy is not commenting on my Facebook. And I clicked it, and it wasn't. It was a fake page of a guy that's a kind of a fake pro bass fisherman. So somebody's made a fake of the fake. Now, they've really taken a shine to me. They like to bash me and several other people, and they comment on a lot of pros. And you know, I'm sure it's somebody I know. Maybe, who knows? I would hope not, because I would hope that anybody that I would know would contribute more to society or have more important things to do than have a fake internet page. But that being said, I just want to say, if you are someone that's an internet troll with a fake page, that is truly the epitome of the bottom dwelling mom's basement just joke of a human. Like, if you have to have a fake page to get things across, like, I have thought things are funny on, like, the Jim Jones bass fishing page or whatever. I thought the Randy Flowers page was funny for about 5 minutes, and then it got old. But here's the thing. With those pages, and I've been accused of being some of these pages, and look, any of you guys that have kept up with this for a while know I'm going to say what I believe into this microphone, into this camera, and I don't have to hide behind a fake Facebook page to say anything I want to say. So the fact that someone from a created a fake Facebook and appears to be quite, I mean, definitely obsessed with me in some creepy way. Like, I win, dude, or dudette, whoever you are. Like, the fact that you took time out of your day, you're obviously not doing that much. Like I said, you're not contributing to society in any kind of meaningful way. But the fact that you started a fake page and I seem to be the focal point of it, and then would appear to be trying to lay the blame off on Jason Christie with a Y. I don't know. Maybe it is Jason Christie with a Y. I don't know. But it's the dumbest thing I've ever seen. And they've attacked some other folks that I know. It's just absurd. So good for you for having a fake internet page. Didn't even want to say anything about it. But the more I thought about it, I'm like, this is so stupid. So stupid. I don't care if people don't like me. I certainly don't have a problem with that. You know, I throw myself out there. I throw my opinions out there. I throw my music out there. I throw my fishing out there. I am putting myself out there to be judged. So if you don't like what I do or like what I say, then okay. It's free content. Move on to the next thing, right? But when you're a coward and you hide behind something to try to make points or try to sway someone's opinions about a person, that's just tacky and stupid. So enjoy. And I blocked them from my Facebook because I don't want to see that crap. I don't want my kids seeing that crap because, you know, with all this going on, you know, we're on top of each other, the kids, the family, and they, you know, my kids keep up with all my social media stuff and all that. And, you know, I don't want them seeing some piece of crap that's probably got Cheeto hands that made him took him 5 minutes to make him a fake Facebook account attacking me. But I wasn't going to address it until I had several texts from folks that mean a lot to me being like, what the hell's going on with this? Who is this guy? I'm like, hell, I don't know. It's somebody that's clearly got their life going in the direction they want it to be in, and they're not jealous of anything anybody else has got going on, and they certainly add a lot to society on a daily basis, you know. So good for you, the fake version of Jason Christie. And a lot of you fans have sent it to me, and I don't believe it's Jason Christie with a Y. I don't think he's that dumb, but it's just bizarre. And there were a few little back and forth comments, and I was like, you know what? And now it's just like full court press on some things about me, and from the music I play to my fishing career. Oh no, I didn't catch him like a fake Facebook page wanted me to. So stupid, dude. So stupid. So that's the bottom of the barrel of the internet. The internet has some amazing people in it. Like most of you, some amazing characters, a lot of things come out of it. You know, it has provided a lot for me in my life, a lot of platforms and things. But there's this dark corner of it where you can have a profile and you don't have to attach anything to your real name because you're scared. You little scared boy in your mama's basement. Like, that's the bad part of it. And then you can say what you want about people or incite hate or different things. And then nothing happens. And that's where I got with like the Randy Flowers page. It was funny. But like, this guy's also doing the Randy Flowers shtick where he like misspells words. You're not original in any way. The Randy Flowers stuff was kind of funny in the beginning with the misspelled words and all that. But then it just got played out and stupid. For sure, 1,000%. But and this is the same way. And I don't want to be associated with any fake internet page. Like, say what you say. Or you mean to say with your face associated with it and stand by it. But anyways, spent way too much time on that. Way too much time on that. But I'm sure y'all will comment below and agree that fake internet pages are pretty much the dumbest thing in the history of the world. It's bizarre. I see them a lot of times where they steal like celebrities' likeness, you know, name and likeness. And you see, you know, musicians and actors and things pop up and say, hey, this is not me. This is, you know, look for the blue check mark, that kind of stuff. It's kind of funny that people do that. But I myself have never thought, you know what, I should do that and attack people. But weird. And in the middle of all this craziness, that's kind of weird that somebody would think that they should do that. Clearly have a lot of time on their hands, clearly. So good stuff. Good stuff. Some pathetic mom's basement news for y'all. Out there in low lifer land. So, but to the sport of fishing. And this is, I'm checking my phone for my guest today. Shot him a little text there. Some news news coming out this week from MLFLW world. And I'm hearing this from all sorts of sides here. And I don't know the exact deal. I'm sure it'll be announced. But there have been a lot of talks in how all the tournament trails are gonna forge through. And we talked about that last week with Darian, but how they're going to forge through, get the year back going whenever this kind of subdues a little bit and, you know, slides out of here, hopefully, Corona. But Bass has really not announced anything on what they're going to do. FLW postponed some more tournaments through May. But MLF, they're kind of, you know, they announced their Red Crest for next year is going to be in February in Tulsa. That should be a lot of fun if you're an Eskimo. So my heart goes out to the guys that have to fish that in February in Tulsa. That's probably going to be really cold. But anyways, they announced that and their dates for next year. No lakes, but dates this week. But there's some rumblings coming out of there. So they've had how many? Three tournaments. I think they're supposed to have eight. I'm not sure. I think it's eight. But they were going to do the big Bass Challenge or whatever down at Kissimmee, the Lunker Fest. I don't know what they're calling it, but I forget. Heavy hitters. That's what they're going to call it, where you took your best five, even though best five don't matter, from the first five events or whatever, and they were going to give away a bunch of money. Well, they're not having that now, I don't think, best I can tell from my what I'm gathering from this situation. But so they presented their anglers with a couple of options, and one of the options was, hey, we can have three or four more BPTs this year. I think three more. They're going to try to finish it like six, I believe, and I could be wrong, but I believe like six. Or they said, hey, we can have one more BPT. We'll give you an extra BPT. Now, these are entry fee free tournaments, okay? We all know that's what they beat on their chest about. And it's a good thing. Entry fee free tournaments are a good thing. But I've always said, how are they going to fund it? And I can imagine that MLF, like Bass, like FLW, which MLF owns, I can imagine that sponsors are starting to say, hey, you're not having events, and they're starting to look at contracts because a lot of these companies are taking hits right now. Like, it's a big mess right now, right? So they gave the guys an option for another Bass Pro Tour event, or, and this cracked me up, and I would almost like to have seen it happen, but I don't think it's going to now. But they wanted, and this is MLF Brass, wanted an option of, there have been three FLW Pro Circuits this year. There's four more to go. They wanted to have four, the remaining four, and make them super FLW, MLFLW, Tackle Warehouse Pro Circuit events, and allow all 80 of the Bass Pro Tour anglers to pay an entry fee and finish out the year by fishing FLW. Huh? That's right. Let me say that one more time. They wanted to take some sponsor money and put it in the FLW Pro Circuit, make it almost 200 boats, and put 80 of the BPT guys in the four remaining Tackle Warehouse Pro Circuit events that the season's already started and there's already three events, and just to have this big old mess of a bass tournament in hopes of putting the bigger names in FLW and getting it some, and of course, making those guys pay entry fees, which is odd to me that you want them to go backwards, but to make them pay entry fees, and then, you know, the payout would go down through like whatever place, and but then you'd have Kevin Van Dam fishing against, you know, Jason Christie, so with a Y, and some other folks. So I think that in hopes of, you know, getting some attention for FLW, and I think this is twofold. I don't think that's a terrible idea. I don't want y'all to, you know. Ultimately, I don't. Anything that gives anglers more things to fish. As a former FLW guy, I would say this. If I had been presented that, I would have been offended just by based on the fact that we already started our year and it's kind of like we don't matter, but now you're going to give it a kick in the arm. You know, I think that would suck if I was an FLW guy. They did present this to the FLW angler panel. And I think they were kind of in agreement that, you know, bring them on, kind of. Some of them were like, hell, bring them on. More the merrier, the money, let's go. But it was very, I heard it was presented in kind of an awkward way. But But I think that the MLF BPT pros shot this down. And for me, if I'm those guys, I'm definitely shooting it down. Here's why. If you have sold me, and they have, they've sold very many people on going over there for an entry fee free basis. Now that the first sign of a little bump in the road, you're telling them it's okay to pay entry fees again. And I would not want them, if I'm a BPT angler, I don't want anybody over there that's in the brass thinking that I'm okay paying an entry fee, because then it's just like any other tournament organization. And from a tournament angler standpoint, that's what they had over anything else to me, is the entry fee free setup. So I hear it's mixed. I hear guys are, you know, kind of ticked because they wanted that opportunity. And I hear some guys are, didn't want it, you know. And I hope to get one of those guys on here in the next week or so to talk about it. Hopefully one of the guys maybe. And but that's not, you know, I don't think that's been published anywhere or anything like that. But it was definitely on the table. And I think that it got shot down by the BPT guys. But you got to think that MLF, Boyd, Jim Wilburn and crew, the Kroenke Nation, they bought FLW this year, and it could not have happened at a worse time because everything's tanking with the economy. So you got to think they wanted those entry fees to pump some more money into the tour. You know, they came in going to be the financial saviors of the FLW Pro Circuit and FLW organization, and I know now it's just a hot mess, just like everything else is in our country. So they probably were really pushing it, I feel like, you know, as a shot in the arm money wise. Hey, let's get some cash flowing into FLW, get you guys over there, get some eyeballs on FLW, that, you know, a few more eyeballs on it. And not, no offense to anybody fishing FLW, but you know, you get the Van Dams over there, the world, and some of these guys in there fishing against them, and you can promote that. I get why they would want to do it. Like I said, as an FLW guy, when I was fishing, I would not have wanted that, not from fear of fishing against Kevin Van Dam, because I think that would be really cool. I've never got to do that. But I think from a, hey, we started this, we are your Tackle Warehouse Pro Circuit anglers, we're working towards qualifying for the BPT. I just think it muddies the waters. So that was a weird one. For me when I've heard that from several angles this week, and it's just odd. It's just kind of odd to me. But that being said, I'm not out here trying to throw too much hate at people trying to figure stuff out right now either, right? I will say that for the record. Like, these are unprecedented times, and I don't know. Like, who knows what Bass is going to do? Who knows what the rest of the year is going to look like for the Opens and the Elite Series? And who knows what even, hell, next year's Classic might look like? Who knows right now with this freaking hysteria and everything we've got going? So I just wanted to talk on that a little bit. Not really. I'm kind of indifferent on it, to be honest. The more I think about it, I think there's a lot of hurting going on in the fishing industry, and I think there's going to be a lot more, and I think that that's going to trickle down. I think what, like Darian and I talked last week, I think the pros are suffering from it and are going to continue to suffer, and I think that the tournament organizations are certainly looking at taking some major sponsorship hits, because that is the first thing that gets cut out when times get tough, economic crunch of any kind. Marketing budgets do get whittled down, and I think that's a real distinct possibility that you could see that. I really do. Let's see. So y'all comment below if you're on YouTube, and let me know what you think about that situation right there. I think that it's certainly unique, to say the least. And that's kind of, you know, when I spoke out last fall about them buying FLW, that was kind of some of my fear, is it would muddy the waters, and it has. And that's one of those prime examples right there of, hey, we can't do this because these entry fee free tournaments are hard to run without sponsor dollars. And if we don't have enough sponsor dollars, and I do not know what their sponsor situation is. It could be great right now. I don't know. I'm speaking completely out of my rear end on that, but that being said, like, hey, let's not have another one of those and y'all pay for some tournaments and let's go, you know, inject some money into FLW. It's just, it was just bizarre situation. Bizarre situation from MLFIW. And yeah, I don't want them jokers thinking that I'm okay to pay an entry fee at all, in the least. So my guest today, we're gonna call him here in a couple minutes. I wanted to preface this because I spoke earlier this year about having him on, and I got some good feedback and I got some negative feedback, and it's very interesting. And the reason I say that is this guy and the group he represents, it's kind of split down the middle. Obviously, they have a mountain of fans, and they can be controversial, and they can be well-received, and they can also be outspoken, and they are very much well-loved and well-defended amongst the internet. And it is my guest today is a founding member of the legendary YouTube Guggen Squad at this point. He's one of the founding members. He has 1.6 million subscribers. 1.6 million people. Listen to what he says. Huh? Yeah. 1.6 million subs on YouTube, and it is Mr. Rob Turkla of Lunkers TV. We're going to get Rob on here. I just can't wrap my head around having that many people. That scares me, honestly. We're going to get into that with him, but Rob reached out to me back this fall, and he said, he shot me a message on Instagram. I talked about it on here, but he's like, hey, man, Rob is also a military man. Thank you for your service, Rob. But Rob is, we'll get Rob to talk about some of that. But Rob is a guy, like, I'm old, and I think Rob and I are close to the same age. So Rob, you're old. But I didn't come up in this YouTube world. I just kind of got in the last couple years, obviously, and poking around in it a little bit. And I obviously know a lot about the Guggen guys. Enough, right? But I don't know them. I don't know them personally. Spoke to them and I've seen them a few times. We've gone back and forth online. But Rob reached out to me back this fall and said, hey, man, I just came across your podcast and I like what you're doing and you're outspoken. And that's and he was telling me like Low Budget Live, the episode he had seen. And I really appreciated that. And he and I got to going back and forth. I'm like, hey, man, I'd like to have you on sometime. And it has not worked out until today. But right now, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to get Robert on here from Lunkers TV right now.
Hello.
Robert, what's up?
Well, how are you doing?
Man, I'm doing pretty good. I just gave you the best intro you're ever going to get. I mean, I don't even know. You should never do another podcast. I mean, ever again after the intro you just got. No, I talked a little bit about right before I called you, how you reached out this fall and you and I were talking, and I was very appreciative of the fact that you were kind and reached out and were like, hell, man, you know, you speak your mind. It's very cool. And I was telling the listeners that I'm 36 years old and I'm just getting into the YouTube stuff. Obviously, and you and I talked about that just here in the last couple of years, like everybody else is. So I'm not, like, I know you guys, obviously, and I keep up with industry trends and I keep up with the magnitude of what you guys are doing, but I would never say, and I've watched videos, but I'm not as familiar with all of y'all and your backstory. So if any of the questions I ask sound redundant or anything, just hang up. But I just want to get to know. And I think a lot of my listeners are huge Guggen fans. It pops up in the comments all the time. But I think for anybody out there that's either doesn't know you guys or confused, you know, I just wanted to have you on. So first of all, thank you, dude, for taking time out of your Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, ain't no biggie, buddy.
I really appreciate it, dude. So, dude, I want to know, How are you dealing with this corona craziness, first of all, because just from following you on Instagram, I mean, you're a wild man. You're like me. You're killing your own stuff. You're feeding your family with venison. I know you're a big elk hunter, but how are you handling this craziness so far?
I'm tired of it.
Amen.
I want it to be over with. I don't know. I actually, about 30 minutes ago, I was up at the warehouse, and I said thank you to the towel dispenser because it gave me a paper towel. I rolled one out, and I looked at myself in the mirror like, what the hell are you doing? You talked to a paper towel dispenser. And that actually happened. I didn't even – I literally said thank you. I was like, well, that was weird.
I think, dude, so Texas is pretty locked down right now, like the rest of the country. But I mean, are you fishing? What are you doing?
Oh yeah. I'm on my way to go shoot fish right now. Texas is probably the most lenient. I mean, we're about to open this sumbitch back up on the first. We're so, talking about the restaurants will be back open and everything. I mean, our cases aren't crazy here.
No, that's what I was reading that last night. I mean, so as a solid American and somebody that is very full of American pride, what do you think about this? I mean, because you're not bashful about saying what you want to say. So what do you think about it?
I think this shit's political.
You think it's political?
I think it's been here longer than what they say. Oh, yeah, of course. I read a thing a couple days ago in California. They said that there was 965 cases that were confirmed in California, and I think it was Santa Monica or Santa Clara. And they did a test this last week where they found out that 1 in 66 people actually were. So there's actually 41,000 to 84,000 people, not 965. So there's – I just think it's too political at this point. I mean, drives me insane. Just get this shit over with. Get the country open. It's driving me insane.
Yeah, I think that being in the – you know, obviously I do this and fishing, but obviously TH Marine, being – selling boat parts is my main living, you know, and has been for 15 years. And it's obviously affecting what we've got going on, and it's crazy to see. And look, I know you're just like me. You don't want to see people lose their lives, man. We don't want to see that. But there has to be some common sense that comes out of this. And truly, we need to get some folks back working. I really do believe that.
I mean, look at the numbers of the people that are from 45 and under. It's like a very, 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 like, it's not going to happen. It's pretty much what the numbers are.
Yeah.
Everybody that's like above, it's like 50, 54 and above, where it's really, I don't know. It's not my position to say what to do. But if I was the person, I'd say get the young people back to work and get this shit churning again.
Yep. So, I would agree with that. How has it, so you guys in the lure side of things, are you seeing a slowdown at all? A lot of the folks in the fishing tackle game I know seem to think that this has actually been pretty good for business just because so damn many people seem to be fishing right now.
Well, in our world, we do a lot of direct-to-consumer sales. I mean,
right.
A lot of online. Right. I mean, we're pretty large on the online side. And, yeah, big box sales have slowed some, but it's not a – I mean, it's been pretty steady. I mean, we have a very loyal fan base.
No doubt.
And they're fishing, so they still need fishing stuff. So, and we knocked off prices this entire time. I think we've been giving them 20% off this entire time.
That's so killer. So on the Guggen Squad stuff, so where did this idea, and I know this is, you've been asked this a million times, but I want, like I said, I want my listeners to know, where did the idea of forming this group come from, like at its origin? Take me through that.
So at the beginning, probably, I would say 4 years ago, we were basically all working together, and I realized at the time that there was a gap inside of the online outdoor industry as kind of what I saw in the industry I just came from, which was esports. And like my good friend Hector Rodriguez had started this team, and they got like a house, and they only made content together, and they basically grew a very large audience together. And I was kind of like, what if we just made a team and we just worked together? That's all we did. We didn't work outside of our group. We just worked as one moving part. Like, I think team-based stuff is a lot more enjoyable for myself. That's why I don't really like tournament fishing that much.
Yeah.
Because it's single. If they had team-based tournaments, I would do them all the time. Me and Rackley would do them all the time because they would be fun at that point.
Yeah.
But the Guggen Squad started kind of as a, let's make a team and make it, that's all it really was.
So were you heavily involved in the outdoors? Because I know you said you had an esports background, but were you heavily involved in the outdoors leading up to that point, or was it?
Oh, no.
Really? So you kind of, this introduced you into fishing then, basically?
Oh, yeah, yeah. YouTube was. One of my first YouTube videos, I had a spinning rod with a bait casting reel on. Like, I didn't know anything about fishing.
That's awesome.
I was like, yeah, I didn't know anything about fishing. My dad didn't grow up fishing for bass. My grandpa did, but he didn't really show me much. And I didn't really have a way to learn. So I just said, you know what, screw it. Let's get on YouTube and make videos. And I taught myself everything I know from day one of starting a channel.
That's crazy, man. That's so in 4 years, not only have you grown this thing to 1.6 million subs, which I said into the camera 419 times before you came in, because that is I know you wake up every day and you're like, really? Sometimes you got to be, because I would have, that's such an insane number of people to even, I have such a small channel, and I had my friend Brian Latimer one time said, this was last year, and it was like 4,000 subs, whatever it was at the time. And I said, man, you know, I'm coming for you, like giving him a hard time. And he goes, dude, don't downplay it. 4,000 people will barely fit in a, you know, in a really big building. And I was like,
holy shit, that's funny. I actually told him that.
Really?
I told him.
No kidding. So it came full circle then.
We were having a conversation about the size. And whenever somebody has a conversation with me, they always, and they do YouTube or they do stuff like this, they always follow it up with, well, it's not comparable to your numbers. And I always, always, always instantly say, no, wait one. If I stuck 100 people in a room with you, you wouldn't know what the hell to say to them.
That's a fact.
It doesn't really matter. Like, you have no idea the impact that it really has. Like, 100,000 people is insane. But, like, if I stuck you in a room with 100 or 2,000 people, I mean, you're going to clam up.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, it's a totally different ball game. And you start thinking about numbers like what you guys are doing. It's just crazy, man. So, well, I appreciate that on the Guggen Squad. And I hate, for all y'all listening, I hate to be a rambling idiot when it comes to this, but I truly don't know as much about you guys. I feel like everybody thinks they do. You guys are like, y'all like unicorns in the damn fishing industry. Everybody's like a Guggens. You either love them or hate them. There's middle ground with some folks. You know what I'm saying. You know exactly what I'm saying. And that leads me to my next question. What is, because I see you post about this all the time and you share, your fan base is very loyal, very loyal. And you guys share, you in particular, you share a lot of the Guggen takeover stuff, you know, when they're at an Academy Sports and showing you the end cap that's almost empty of Guggen soft plastics, or, you know, you share all this stuff, which I think is really cool. But the Guggen takeover, and I'm using air quotes here, but what is your definition? What is that to you? What is the definition of the Guggen takeover?
It's turn the walls green.
Turn them green.
That's pretty much it. Yeah, turn them green. I want to go down the aisles and see it green. It all really stems from about at the beginning of Guggen. Guggen really formed because a lot of the companies took us as a joke.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they thought the social media side was not going to go anywhere, and they thought we were a joke, and they only wanted to put money towards pros, and they never wanted to work with us. So we said, you know what, screw it, let's make our own thing. And so turning the walls green is kind of like our way of saying, yes, we're able to do something. Let's take the peg space from them.
And
that's our thing.
And kind of like, and I told you so a little bit, I guess.
Yes.
And that leads to my next thing is, why do you think the fishing industry rejected the idea of using YouTubers, and I hate that term, but YouTubers or social media influencers? Why 4 years ago do you think that they were so opposed to that versus this? And you and I had a long conversation about this back and forth one day, and you actually said you were surprised at my opinions on this. But why do you think, because I feel like too much faith has been based on a guy that'll tell you, I'll put a logo on my jersey for $27,000, you know, and there was a time and place for that. But why do you think the fishing industry was so slow to jump on that trend?
Because they didn't understand, they were confused. And actually, I think it was a little bit of fear at the same time, because they were so used to just, let's shove money into newspaper ads. Let's shove money into some stupid magazine that literally has no conversion rate. But at the same time, they didn't really understand what was going on. The world was changing, and they just couldn't keep up with it. They're either the marketing department was way so far behind that they had no idea even what Instagram was at the time. And to be completely blunt, back in the day, there's a thing, like, I really believe there's, like, internet land grabs, what you want to call them. And I think back when we first started, it was like that was a land grab for the fishing side of that. That's what it is of the industry, I guess you'd say.
Like that corner of it.
Yes, like that's why the whole team-based thing is so powerful, is because it's like some people would like me, but they might hate John. But some people will love John, but hate me, but yet they love Guggen.
I gotcha.
See what I mean? That's the whole idea. And it, and Guggen is great because it gives some people something to, I don't know, kind of
pull for,
like mesh together.
Yeah. And I think it's like a, what it did for me, and I've said this in conversations, you know, it has grown the sport, and what you guys have done in the YouTube fishing crowd as a whole, because it took these, you know, whether they're younger or older, but it took these fishermen and it showed them you don't have to be a tournament guy to go have fun and go fishing. You don't. That's not what it's about at its core. Fishing is fun. That's what I try to say on my stuff all the time. Like, fishing is fun at its core. Yes, I'm a tournament fisherman or have been and still am and always will be. But fishing is fun at its core. And I think that's why you were a lot of the reason you guys were successful. And you just didn't, if you said, if a bait sucked to you,
it sucked.
And, yeah. and we haven't had that brutal honesty before, I felt like.
Lot of people will take... I've seen it so many times. I'm going to cut you off, but I've seen it so many times where people will get paid their 12 or 15 or 20 grand a year to promote a shit product, and they will continue to promote it, but yet they don't have real actual faith in it. And then next year you'll see them promoting something else, and the next year you'll see them promoting something else. So there's no validity to your actual voice in that sense. Like, mm-hmm. you have no validity. Like, I can't trust your word, but when it comes to us, we legitimately make every single one of our things. Like, everything is made ourselves. And so when we make it, we catch fish on it. It's us.
Yeah.
It's completely different.
Yeah. I think that's the transparency now that has been created through YouTube and through, well, you know, a lot of live tournament coverage has changed that as well. And I think you would agree. I mean, it's showing.
I agree 100%. That's great. Show it.
Yeah.
Show these son of a guns what they're actually doing. So when they go up and they're like, well, I caught it on this. Well, no, you were actually catching it on something completely different, which is, it brings me to another point. I love having the guys that we have, the pros that we do have on our staff. They're great. Like Wheeler and Connell, and of course Martin, like, so they're great because they're honest as hell. Like, Wheeler will look at me and be like, I'm gonna be honest with you, buddy, that shit sucks.
Yeah, they'll tell you.
All right. So I mean, like, we're coming out with this frog and this other stuff right now, and these things, they don't take 6 months or 8 months. That some bitch has been going for 12 to 16 months just for one soft plastic to go through 20 to 30 different cycles to get it right.
So who's involved in the designing of that kind of stuff? Because I saw you make a post this morning that you were actually out throwing it around. You got a video up now about the frog.
That's all of us.
All of you guys?
All of us, man. Every single one of these baits. Like, I'm working on a bait currently right now that's just mine. But like I said, this frog has been worked on by about four or five different people. We also have had swim baits that have not even made the cut, and they're still not going to make the cut. We've actually nixed it because it wasn't making the proper noise. Like, there's a lot of shit that goes on behind the scenes. Like, we will not shit out a product either that's like mediocre. Like, there's no mediocre. Like, it won't happen. It's either the best and the plastic is done correct, or it's not going to get put out there.
I gotcha. And that's, there's a lot to be said for that, man. And what you guys are trying to do. I know it's certainly, you know, being on the business side of this a lot like I am, it's certainly interesting for me, and working with the companies that I've worked with for years. And but I actually had a good friend of mine from Eagle Claw made a statement to me last year, and he's in sales and he was blown away. Of course, they're not competing with you guys anyway, but he was blown away at the amount of peg space you guys were getting last year. And talking to his buyers at Dick's Sporting Goods and Academy and these things, and he was just like, he was just, his jaw dropped. And it was a very interesting conversation from a guy that's been in this business for 25 years, you know. And basically saying, you got to respect it, but he was just, you know, talking about how impressive it is to see what you've done in a short time.
Nobody really understands social media marketing. It just goes back to the original question from earlier is what is our goal? Well, it is to take peg space, but it's only really to prove a point. Like, in my eyes, it's so funny. It's like, money is cool and all, but that's only my way to judge if I'm winning or not. I don't really care that much about it.
That's how you keep score.
That's how I keep score. That's how I tally and keep score. But I like to prove a point to people that really talk, because there's a couple companies 4 years ago that talked absolutely terrible about us, and now it like makes me feel good and smile now that I'm starting to shrink their peg space slowly and slowly.
that's some Game of Thrones shit right there. the battle for the peg space. Like, peg space.
Well, it's like, I'm just being honest. It's like I've always been honest, and I've said this before. It's just, it is what it is, you know?
No, no doubt. No doubt, man. And I think that's why when you and I've gone back and forth, just having our conversations, a couple times that we've had, man, I like your opinion because you don't care to share it. And that's always been my problem, and a blessing and a curse for me, I guess, as I like to run my mouth, but I like to, you know, I talked about this in the beginning, before I called you, and it was like fake internet pages, guys that make fake pages so they control people and think, dude, that's like the bottom of the barrel. If you can't say what you want next to your damn face, then don't say it. Like, yeah. Drives me nuts, man. Real quick, and I know I don't want to keep you too long, but so does it, when you're talking about turning the pegs green and you smile at that, what do you think, because I, being a former pro angler on the FLW thing for 4 or 5 years and being around this forever and working with pro staff guys through TH and things, like when you guys burst on the scene and other fishing YouTubers, the YouTube world, pro fishermen were definitely against it. 1,000%. There's never been anything. Does it make you smile when you see guys saying, hey guys, swipe up to my YouTube video?
Because
they all have channels now.
Well, yeah, I know. It all depends on who it is. I'm telling you, there's guys that I feel like I'm good friends with, like Mark Daniels, Latimer, Wheeler, Connell, Martin. Like, I actually talk to those guys kind of on a regular basis.
Great guys.
Yeah, I've given them some insight. I'm trying to, like, that handful of guys, I've really tried to help them as much as I can to kind of, like, get the channel going, and because I want to see that side of the industry succeed as well. I have no, like, I don't, it's not going to hurt me or anything that we got going on for those guys to succeed. Like, it does not hurt me at all. So I'd like to see that side of the industry actually blossom into something. Because TV is going away as much as people don't want to believe it. As of last June, TV marketing dollars, internet marketing dollars surpassed TV dollars last June. And I couldn't imagine what it was this year. So as time goes on, TV is going to dwindle and YouTube and the internet is going to take control. So like what I said a couple minutes ago, the internet land grab happened. Now it's who's going to be able to contain and maintain that chunk of the industry as it switches over to just internet.
I would agree with that, man. And I've said that on here. You're seeing this. I've called it a paradigm shift, and that's what it is. I grew up as the kid reading Bassmaster magazine, watching the Bassmasters on TNN, watching Bill Dance, Roland Martin, that kind of stuff. That's where I got my information as a kid. But as I've gotten older, and you know, obviously things have changed. But then I watch my kids, you know, my boys are 9 and 12, 13, 15, and watching these guys, dude, this is one of the funniest things, and you'll laugh at this, and John B. will appreciate it. But 3 years ago, my son Charlie, who just turned 16, not 15, he's going to kill me when he hears this for saying that probably, but he is 16 and driving in hell on wheels. But anyways, 3 years ago, now their dad works in this industry, he's grown up in it, fishes in it, you know, carved out whatever weird little spot in it that he does have. And I've been fortunate to meet a lot of my heroes, know a lot of my heroes, that kind of thing. And one day he was like, I said, hey, did you check out that Kevin Van Dam video I sent you? I texted him. He goes, I don't know who that is. And he goes, did you see the John B. video I sent you? This is like 3 years ago. I'm like, who the hell are you talking about? What's John B.? He's like, you don't know John B. Fishing? I'm like, I don't. No, I don't even know who you're talking about. But so funny. But it's, dude, it's amazing to see this shift taking place, man. So I think that I know that Flair, from what I've seen on some of the videos, he's goat roping and doing all his craziness. So that kind of leads me to this. What's next for you? I know you do the storage deals. Are you guys looking, not to show too much of your hand or anything like that, but I mean, are you looking to expand more into other areas? Is fishing always going to be the primary focus? I mean, what's next in your eyes for you?
Okay, this is an easy one to answer. So our goal, we're YouTubers, and we're together, and we have a company together, which is essentially a marketing company, and our job is to get views and enjoy our job at the same time. So we realized over the last couple of years that the fishing side of the world has been very saturated. I would say we probably control 75 to 80% of it. I would not to like say crazy numbers, but I'm pretty positive because we do, as a group, we're doing about 70 million views a month. So I would like to say we probably control around 70 to 80% of the fishing side. But as from a marketing standpoint, we really need to reach other audiences. That's why we start doing random stuff that we enjoy. And the thing is, if I fish every day, not saying this is bad, but if I were to fish 300 days a year, it would become monotonous and repetitive and the same thing. It's the exact same thing. So why would I want to ruin something that I enjoy so much? That's why we do stuff like storage units or buy cows or buy land or shoot guns. I guess it's stuff that we want to do during our daily life, yet we don't want to be forced to go fishing just to make a video. We want to enjoy go fishing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely, dude. So there's no telling what's next then, really.
No, who knows? No, our goal is to broaden the Guggen brand as much as we can to as many people as we can and try to make it worldwide. That is our end goal, is to make it worldwide.
That takes that Guggen takeover term to a whole new level, brother. Guggen worldwide.
Yeah.
Guggen worldwide. All right, dude. Man, I got that's killer. That's killer. I hope that I know everybody that follows me has to follow you guys, but if you're not, make sure y'all are subbed, and I'm sure that they notice at this point. Do you notice when you get new subs? Because when I get like three, I'm like, hell yeah, boy. Like, I get excited.
I enjoy getting all the new subs. It's just, I've been doing this for 5 years, and YouTube's an ebb and flow. Like, I'm talking some months we might get 10,000 subs or 15, or I might get 10 or 15,000, or I might get 60 to 100,000.
It's crazy,
man. The thing is you just, the ebb and flow, and it like, you just have to take the swings as they come. Like right now we're doing really good, but 2 months from now we might be doing really bad. You just can't look at every month. You have to just kind of look at it as a whole. What is our growth plan for this year?
That's awesome. That's awesome. All right. I got one more for you, dude, and then I'm going to let you go shoot fish. So what is your greatest personal moment to you? Not excluding everything with the squad, but what is your greatest personal moment from all of this? I've seen that just recently, the Granger Smith, I saw you out on stage. I thought that was really cool, being a music nut like myself. I thought that was cool. But like Deion Sanders, for the love of God, being like, yeah, Bandito Bug is the shit. Like that was, I don't think that was the exact quote, but I was like, holy hell. When you shared that, I was like, this Neon Deion, man, it's prime time. Yeah, that was cool. So for you, what's your personal moment?
To be blunt, not to sound cheesy, is I couldn't tell you over the last 4 years how many parents have came up to us and say that they've given them an avenue to be able to hang out with their kids that they would never have.
Oh, that's cool.
So that we'd give them a reason to. And then at another time, it'd be like the amount of times I've had people come up to me and say something like, where they start breaking down and crying. And they say that we saved their life. They were on the verge of suicide. And we give them hope and stuff like that. I could not tell you how many emails. We're talking hundreds upon hundreds and hundreds over the years. Of that has happened. It is,
wow,
that, that's the point when you realize you actually have an impact. When someone comes up to you, do a meetup, and they step aside, and then they just start crying and telling you this crazy story and how they were on the verge of suicide, and you help them through a hard time by giving them content. So it's just that's when they realize it's more. Like it's more than just making money. Like that's not the end goal. That's to show how much you're winning, but it's the impact people's lives and to give the personal connection to the parents to be able to go out and do something with their kids. Because, you know, a lot of these kids, they don't go out. Like, I didn't know how to fish, but now they have an avenue to learn how to fish online. And now their parents has an outlet for them to go and, like, say, buy a Guggen bait. Now their kid loves it because now they get to go out and go fish together.
Very cool.
You know what I mean?
It's very cool, man. And it is, even in my small side of it, it is so rewarding to hear a personal story. The celebrity stuff is cool. If you ever, for me, yeah, like meeting my fishing heroes and things over the years and that kind of stuff, but having somebody, like you said, hey, man, this affects me. You know, and I have people every Monday, man, Low Budget Live. That's my Monday morning. That's so cool, man. That's like, that's something you never think about when you're sitting out in your damn garage recording a podcast. that it affects that many people and people appreciate it. That's very cool, man. So I know that's got to be, that's got to feel good for sure to know you're affecting that many people.
Yeah, and doing the stuff like Make a Wish and sending kids, like we never even promote any of that kind of stuff, just because it seems kind of wrong. But all doing all those kind of stuff and sending packages to kids that are terminally ill or doing all that, it's just because I mean you never know how long they have. So when they feel that personal connection to the people that they watch on YouTube, well, it's pretty rewarding.
Very
especially
cool.
When we get the messages back. So
I saw the other day too, Tyler Tony and my kids saw this, by the way, on your page from Dude Perfect, and they were like, holy crap, he's got Guggen stuff. They were losing their mind at the house the other day. And you made me, Rob, you made me very cool with my kids today because of like, hey, you know that Tyler Tony tagged Lunkers and Guggen Squad and something the other day? I'm like, yeah, I've got Rob coming on the podcast. They're like, what? Do you think he can have Tyler call us? I mean, it was basically, you know, through the grapevine. They wanted you to hook him up with Dude Perfect. But
that's hilarious.
Yeah, dude. It's those guys... I mean, it's incredible to me what they've done. And I love the fact that they are involved in the outdoors. I think that's very cool, too. It's awesome.
You realize they're like, it's like almost the same kind of concept. They
definitely
promote, sporting, like not, I was going to say hunting, but like baseball and football. And they do all these weird trick shots, but they're not pro athletes. It's kind of like the same as us. We promote fishing, but we're not pro fishermen.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Not really any of us have any aspirations to be. At some point, whenever I decide to go do that, I've already made the decision. At some point, I will go do it just to win once, and then I'm going to donate all my winnings away.
Whenever I do that,
people are going to realize I'm going to do it just to win and prove a point and then be done. That's literally it.
I love it.
That's the only reason you'll ever see me fish a tournament is to win, donate the money, prove a point, and leave.
That's hilarious, man. Well, I'm ready for that. I want the video. I want the and then I want you to guarantee me that Low Budget Live gets the exclusive. Don't call Ike Live or whoever, Straycast, these other guys, these fishing podcasts. You call right here. This is the damn post tournament interview.
That's fine. I've never talked to anybody else on a podcast that's in the fishing industry.
Hell yeah, man. Well, look, dude. I appreciate the kind words and the conversations we've had, and I appreciate you coming on because this is it's awesome. And I know taking 30 minutes out of your day, I know you're busy, and I know this world is crazy right now, so I really appreciate it, dude. And hope to have you on again soon, dude.
Yeah, just let me know. Just do yourself a favor and stay honest to the people. You'll do well in this world.
I appreciate that, man.
That's the only reason why I came on is because you seem like an honest person. So
I appreciate that, dude. I try to just tell it like I've, you know, like I see it, and for better or worse, man. I really appreciate it, and go shoot some fish.
I will. I'll go dump some.
Heck yeah. All right, you too. See you, Rob. All right, Lunkers TV right there coming at you. I hope you guys enjoyed that. I feel like there's in the fishing industry, and y'all are going to laugh at me, but there's a certain mystique or attitude or whatever towards the Guggen squad and YouTubers in general. And that's the first time he and I have ever talked other than, like I said, Instagram messages back and forth. And I wanted to have him on. And hearing their story, it's really cool. I enjoyed that. I hope you enjoyed that. No matter if you're a Guggen squad fan, you're not a fan, whatever. I hope you enjoyed that. That was, I really appreciate Rob taking the time out to give us a call, and that was fun. That was a lot of fun for me, and my kids will think I'm cool because he talks to the people from Dude Perfect. So my kids are going to be all excited, and that was awesome, man. That was awesome. Thank y'all so much, as always, for watching, for listening, for subscribing. If you're not subscribed to the YouTube channel, please make sure you are. Tell your friends, tell your mama and them. Y'all subscribe. Let's grow this thing. I'm throwing out content, trying to throw stuff out there for y'all, and a lot of things coming. Thank y'all for all the support on Boats and Pros early. I wanted to say today on this podcast, you know, we're almost finished with April. I've had one every month so far. There's probably not going to be a Boats and Pros in April unless these travel restrictions and things change pretty quick. We're working on something. We're trying to work around some things to try to get one filmed, but we do not have one in the bag right now. We've got anglers waiting. We've got boats found. Just got to get Tanner here, and we got to try to get some filmed. So be patient with me. There are more Boats and Pros coming. Quarantine Catch Fest. Only a couple more weeks of Quarantine Catch Fest between Darian and I am up to 2248 for my best five for the month of April. Darian has two for 577, which makes me laugh. But I actually made a couple more calls yesterday. But only a couple more weeks, and we've got some big ones weighed in, some nine, a couple eights, a seven. I've seen some big smallies. So be sure to tag us on Instagram, Facebook, at Darian Is Fishing, at Luke Duncan, hashtag Quarantine Catch Fest, and there's going to be a prize for a big spotted bass, which I think we had a 5-pounder this week, but big spot, big smallie, big largemouth, and then a cumulative, a top five of the five biggest fish. So prizes for all that. Thank y'all so much for participating. The ones of you that have sent some fish in, I hope you're getting to fish. If you are not, I am very sorry, because it seems like everybody in the world around me where I am at is fishing right now, because all the boat ramps are overcrowded. It's crazy. There are so many people out on the water, but so many people with their kids. It's been beautiful to see. But lots of people fishing. Lots of people fishing. So Quarantine Catch Fest, don't forget. Going to have a video this week from Quarantine Catch Fest, my best five before yesterday. Won't have a couple of the fish from yesterday on it. But be on the lookout for that. Thank y'all so very much. Thank y'all so very much. I really appreciate y'all. I know I say that a lot, but I genuinely mean it. The fact that people listen, the fact we're almost over 100,000 downloads on iTunes with this podcast. The YouTube views are crazy to me. It's awesome, okay? And so myself, I appreciate it. I spend a lot of time doing this, and I enjoy it. And so thank you for giving me an outlet. Thank you for being lowlifers, and thank you for listening. I'm going to take y'all out with Biloxi Blues. And one other thing, this is my song, Biloxi Blues, if you're new to the show. One other thing, I know I wear this song into the ground, but it's a theme song. I like having the theme. I'm writing new music. There will be a new Luke Duncan set of songs, album, record, whatever you want to call it, in 2020. You heard it here. It's coming. It's coming. So some new tunes for you. Might throw some of them up on the tube here pretty quick. But thank y'all so much. I hope y'all all have a great week. And we might pop up and do a live this week. We'll see. Thank y'all. Thank y'all. Thank y'all. Hug your mama. Never could make it last. Spanish moss and Civil War ghosts, well, I'm gonna leave them in the past. Any direction, Lord, I'll be fine. It don't matter, east or west. North, south, wherever the wind blows, I'm leaving those burdens at rest. This highway, it does not know my name, and I don't care, no. Heading my way for another place, and I got three good tires and a spare. Just a white line gypsy getting out of Mississippi with just enough gas to get there.